Open with me, please, in your Bible to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and the last chapter of that book, the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. We began in the latter months of last year a series of messages on the Beatitudes of Revelation, or the Beatitudes of the Apocalypse. There are seven of them. And on the first message, we looked at chapter 1, verse 3, and also at chapter 22, verse 7, because those two are very similar. I will reference again 22:7 once we begin. But before that, let us read this chapter together. I'll read aloud. You read with me silently as we read this last chapter, 22nd chapter of the last book of our Bible. Revelation chapter 22, and I'll begin in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent me his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And then it changes. Now Christ speaks. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy, the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see that thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And then Christ speaks again. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to eat of the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things unto the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is that heareth, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Mm-hmm. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We've had about our fourth sermon so far this morning. But let us bow for prayer as we look into God's Word. Heavenly Father, now bless thy truth to us. Open our understanding. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts to believe thy truth this day. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned that we've gone through the Beatitudes, the blessings that are found here in the Apocalypse, the book of the Revelation. We began with chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And if you look in our context this morning to verse 7, it is almost quoted again in verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We covered those two together back many, many weeks ago. In the third message, we looked at chapter 14, verse 3. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. We've also covered chapter 19, verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we've also considered chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. But this morning, the text for our service is verse 14 of this chapter. Chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And you notice, first of all, there that they are blessed. And we've not said a lot about that word since our first message in this series when we began to study this. The basic essential meaning of this biblical word, blessed, is to be happy. But that definition falls so extremely far short of explaining what this word means. We know what happiness is. People kill themselves because they're not happy. The world is trying their best to be happy. And they think, if I buy this, I'll be happy. If I get this job, I'll be happy. If I marry this person, I'll be happy. But none of those things make men happy. And the problem is, happiness is an emotion. And the blessedness that is being spoken of here in Scripture is not an emotion. It's a reality. The blessedness which God promises to his people is not something that depends on what you had for supper last night. You eat the wrong thing last night, you get indigestion tomorrow, and you're not very happy. Right? Oh, I wanted to do this today, and it's raining. I'm not happy. You see, emotions change with all kinds of factors. And so to say that the blessedness spoken of in Scripture is just happiness, no, it's yeah, that's involved, but it's so much more than that. But this blessedness that is spoken of here is the true blessing of God. It is the state in which God desired his people to be. Not simply an emotion, but it is where God wanted his people to live, and the way he wanted them to live, the way he wanted their days to be. When Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they lived in a perfect state of blessedness. They lived in a perfect state of happiness. God provided their needs. They lived in an environment that was free from sin, and they fellowshiped with God face to face every day. That was true blessedness. That was true happiness. Now, if we look at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, we find again, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, for they shall see God. In other words, those Beatitudes in Matthew are all talking about, essentially, the restoration of what was lost in the fall. Man truly coming back into right relationship and right fellowship with God. And when we come to this final text in this series, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and enter in through the gates of the city. If you look further in our text, in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. What happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden? Well, a curse came upon them. Adam, no longer will you simply reap the fruits of the garden. In the sweat of your brow you will eat bread until you return to earth, from the earth you were taken, and to the earth you will return. Eve, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. You see, a curse came upon mankind through the fall. But here we find in this very context that in heaven there is no curse. It has been removed. It is gone from man. And so the first thing we see here is that these are truly blessed that do His commandments. But secondly, we find also that they have right to the tree of life. Look again at the context. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Adam had one commandment, and one commandment only. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam broke God's one law. Because of Adam's sin, we find in Genesis 3 and verse 22 and 23, and the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so because Adam sinned in the garden in the first book of the Bible, here in the last book of the Bible, we find the cure. We find the solution. Adam was driven out of the garden. He was cast out. And the way to the tree of eternal life was barred. He could not get it anymore. He could not reach it. But here in the last book of the Bible, Adam having broken God's one command, God now says, blessed are they that do my commands, that they may have right to the tree of life. Do you want to live forever? In Adam, I lost the key. In Adam, the way was barred. My father sinned, and the gates of heaven, the gates of paradise, the way to the tree of life was locked up. But Jesus Christ has made another way. And so we find that this blessing is the way to the tree of life. And look in our text this morning at verse 2. Revelation 22 and the second verse. And in the midst of the street of it, that is heaven, the new paradise, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Ah, in paradise is the tree of life. I have an apple tree that I'm going to cut down if it doesn't bear fruit this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of it.
That's right.
It cumbers the ground. I've weeded around it. I've pruned it. I've sprayed it. I've fertilized it. It's got one last chance.
Mm-hmm.
But even at its best, that tree doesn't bear 12 years the month, 12 months of the year. It's once a year. But this is a continual tree of life. It bears fruit every month. It bears continually. And the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. It is for the healing of the curse of Adam, not to the Jews only, but Jew and Gentile, red and yellow, black and white, all peoples, all tongues, all nations, all creeds. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. The leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations. Come unto me, Christ says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But thirdly, we notice that those who do, blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Adam and Eve were driven out. And God placed this flaming sword that turned every way. In other words, there wasn't another way. That sword was everywhere around. And cherubims to keep the way to the light of life. But here we find that these may enter in through the gates into the city. But look at the verse in its full context. Look at verse 15. Let me read verse 14 and 15 together. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That word without is the Greek word exo. We talk about an exit. There's a line drawn here. Just as there was a line drawn between the Garden of Eden and outside the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were driven. There's a division. And we find here that there are some who have right, not privilege, right to the tree of life. And they may enter in through the gates into the city. But without, outside, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and etc. But that word exo doesn't simply mean outside. You see, our word without or outside is a noun or it's an adjective or it's an adverb or it's a preposition. That is the outside. That's a noun. It's outside the box. Something that's outside of the box is an adjective. It describes it. But this Greek word is a verb. It's an action word. It's not simply that they're outside. This word most often is cast out. Remember, salt is good, but if salt has lost its savor, it's worthy to be cast out. And remember when the owner of the vineyard sent his son and the servants cast him out. It's a forceful thing. Those that do not have right to the tree of life, those who cannot walk in through the city, they're not just outside, they're cast out. It's a verb. They are thrust out. And they are listed here. Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. How many have a dog in your house? I know some of you do. Not that kind of dog. We like our pet dogs. We've got a cat in our house. We had a snake for a while, but my mother-in-law was afraid of it, so we got rid of it. We have pets in our house, and we think of dogs as a nice pet, man's best friend. But this biblical term, dog, it was used of the Gentiles by the Jews, but it means repulsive, nasty, dirty. This is a scrawny, rabid dog that will bite you and infect you with rabies. It's nasty. Now, I don't mean to be pointing at men and putting it this way, but there's a lot of people in this world that are repulsive. They're nasty. And we love them for Christ's sake, and we desire to see them saved, but all of us have at some time or another seen someone whose arms are so scarred from drugs, and their teeth are rotting and coming out of their mouth, and they're covered in sores, and the evidence of their iniquity is all over their bodies. And you see them, and we want to reach them with Christ, and yet, that's who's being spoken of here. The unrepentant, who have continued in their sin. And then it mentions sorcerers. How prevalent witchcraft and the New Age movement and all those things are in our day, and all this mumbo jumbo that's going on. And whoremongers. We understand that one. And murderers. Those that take another life. And idolaters. Those that worship any god but Jehovah. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's the false prophets. They love their falsehood. And they make up new inventions to ensnare souls. Folks, they're outside. And they're not just outside. They're cast outside. There is no place for them in heaven. And if you turn back a page in your Bible to chapter 21... We're in chapter 21, but turn back, or chapter, we're in 22, but turn back to 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing defiled will enter in. Why was it that God would no longer allow Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Because they were defiled. They were covered in sin. And the wages of sin is death. God told Adam, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now Adam is filthy, he is covered with his sin, he can no longer go in because the tree of life is there. And he has no right to the tree of life because he's covered in sin. And so God said, lest he reach forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. Because the sinner must die for his sin. In Isaiah 52 verse 1, the prophet says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. And in Matthew we read, and the king shall say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so we notice that these that are blessed have right to the tree of life, and they enter in through the gates into the city. But the verse begins with those words, chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so we have to stop here a moment. Wait a minute. Are we saved by keeping the commandments? Can I just keep God's law and therefore I will have right to the tree of life and I will have right to enter into the city? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you kept the Ten Commandments? If you raise your hand, you just broke one. Because you'd be lying. Not a one of us have kept God's commandments. And so does this mean we're hopeless? Does this mean we have no way to be saved? Does this mean I am condemned to be a dog outside with the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the idolaters and such as make and love a lie? Is there no hope for me? How can I have right to the tree of life? How can I enter in through the gates into the city? Folks, the answer is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law on my behalf. And so when we read here, blessed are they that keep his commandments, this cannot be talking about the moral law because nobody would make it in. But rather, we find commandments that Jesus Christ gave us in the New Testament. And it is those commandments whereby we have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city. And the first of these that we will consider this morning is found in the first book of John, not the Gospel, but 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. And this is what we read there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his, that's Christ's commandment, and this is his commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he hath commanded us. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Folks, the first commandment that we find by which we may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city is this: believe on the name of his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. You see, how is it that the curse of Adam is removed from me, and the blessings of glory are now open to me, that I can enter into the gates of the city, and that I can partake of the tree of life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is of the Christ, or Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. The man who believes in Jesus Christ has right to the tree of life. The man who does not believe in Jesus Christ is without. He is cast out. He cannot enter in. He that believeth on Jesus, on him, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's John chapter 3, verse 18. You see, I was born outside the gates of that city. I was born with no right to the tree of life. But Jesus Christ died on a different tree, as we say. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He kept the law perfectly. He was the sinless one. And he took on him my curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He opened the way for him, for me, and by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing in him, now the gate is opened, and I may enter in. And I may reach forth and partake of that tree of life. And so the first one is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second commandment we would consider is often called the first commandment. It is the great commandment, but whereby the gate of heaven is open. And this one is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 and following. In Matthew 22, a lawyer, a scribe, one of the leaders of Israel, came to Jesus to tempt him. And we read in Matthew 22 and verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord of God, thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now you're saying, Pastor, what's that have to do with Revelation chapter 22? Everything. Everything. That first table of the law, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, is directly related to Revelation chapter 22. And I'll show you how. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, they shall see the face of God, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Okay, those that see God, those that have right to the tree of life, those that to them have the gates of heaven opened, they see God and his name is written in their foreheads. Now, it doesn't mean that literally they have Jehovah scratched into their scalp. But rather, remember from our responsive reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we found that thou shalt bind them for a sign, the law, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and as frontlets between thine eyes. You may have seen Orthodox Jews with a little phylacteries box on their forehead, and they have a bit of the law in there. They totally misunderstand what the commandment is, and they try to make it physical. But rather, the law of God is now written in my mind because God has changed me from what I used to be. The kids in Jamaica used to sing a chorus, the things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. God has transformed me and his law is written in my mind. And I can see God just as Adam used to see God in the garden before he was cast out. I will behold him face to face because he has put his mark on my forehead. But there's more in this book of Revelation. Turn back with me to chapter 20. Chapter 20. And verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them and judged, was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, so there's those that have the law of God written in their minds, written in their souls. They have his law written upon their hands. And there are others that have a different name written on their foreheads and in their hands. And so, who are these others? Well, turn to chapter 13 of Revelation. Chapter 13. I like to hear the sound of pages turning. I'll give you a moment. Revelation chapter 13, and here I'll begin with verse number 15. This is speaking of the false prophet, the beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast, that they should be killed. And he called all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the name of his the number of his name. Let me read verse 17 again. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, you've all heard about 666 and probably seen pictures of people with 666 drawings, people with 666 in their foreheads. Nobody's going to have 666 scratched into the skin of their heads. But folks, there are those that have Satan's name smack on their forehead. And their minds are consumed with his falsehood and his law. And their hands are busy doing his work. And he controls them. He is their master. They are identified by him. The believer does not have that mark on his forehead. Rather, he has the law of God as frontlets between his eyes. And he has the name of Jehovah written upon him. You may have seen somebody with a t-shirt that says property of such and such an athletic department or something. You know, they're identifying themselves with a school. The child of God has Jehovah's name written on his forehead.
Glory.
His law has been placed within me. The law that was broken by Adam and kept by Christ is now upon me. Blessed are they that do his commandments. I don't do them myself, but he has done them for me. And he has placed them upon me. His name is written on my forehead. My name is written on his hands. And so we find that there are two groups here. Those that have Satan's name and the number of his name on them. And they are cast out. And those that have Jehovah's name written on them by faith. And they do his law. And so what is the crux of that whole matter? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Those are the ones that have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of heaven. And so we have, first of all, the commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Brother Vince very clearly presented that to us in Sunday school, that it all begins with repentance. And then we have those who, they're identified by God. His law has been placed in their mind. His name is stamped upon them. They're blessed because they do his commandments. And folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if you don't love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're not saved. You're still outside. You still don't have entrance in. And then it follows, and love thy neighbor as thyself. What is the evidence that we are indeed the children of God? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. You see, Christians are recognized by their love. When you encounter a Christian, you will recognize that there is something different about them. They are not like most of the people walking down the street.
Right.
You will find the Christian to be generous. You will find the Christian to be kind. You will find the Christian to be caring about needs. But those aren't the things that make a person a Christian. Rather, those are what happens to a man who is a Christian. Mm-hmm. Those things that display themselves, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you have love one to another. The love of the brethren is the evidence that God has transformed me from that nasty dog into one that has right to enter into the gates of the city and partake of the tree of life. But then finally, one more commandment that we find about those who have right to enter into the kingdom is this. They walk in truth. And this one's found in 2 John, the second epistle of John, chapter 1, and verses 3 through 6. This second epistle of John is being, in the introduction, John says this. It's addressed to the elect lady. It's addressed to the church. 2 John, chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. What is the final command by which we enter in through the gates of the city and have right to the tree of life? We walk in truth. We walk in the truth that God has given us. We walk in the truth according to the command of the Father. There's been a great change. There's something different. We continue in the things there are. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. It doesn't mean we got to put on some kind of strength, as our brother mentioned earlier. It's Christ that that keeps us in that faith. But the endurance itself is evidence of the faith. Mm-hmm. We walk in truth. And so he continues there, I beseech you, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment of the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Folks, there's not a multitude of races on earth. There's two. There's the saved and the unsaved. You are one or you are the other. There are those that have right, not privilege. Notice what the text says. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Adam had right, but he lost it when he sinned. We were born without right, but we gained it by faith in Christ. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into, it's a double there, enter through the gates into the city. Folks, are you inside or are you outside? Do you know salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ? Or do you still bear the curse of your sin? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and strength, that show forth the evidence of salvation, and you continue to walk in his truth, that they may have right to the tree of life. Let us stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you that the gospel is clear and plain, and yet the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And Lord, it is only by thy grace that our ears are open to truly hear thy truth. Our eyes are open to see thy truth in the word of God. Bless thy word and thy truth to thy people this day. In Jesus' name, amen.